Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Actually, a pretty educational weekend for me with the Padres at Fenway Park. Not a venue in which the Padres have played a ton of games. They hadn't been there since 2013.
They put that lineup out. Woo, boy.
Pedro Sirocco at shortstop. Yeah, I had totally forgotten about Pedro Sirocco.
Mark Kotze in the DH slot that day.
His second stint with the Padres, of his career.
Yeah, it was something.
It was kind of educational. I learned, and Don and Mudd talked about it on the broadcast, about the Green Monster. And obviously the renovations that they put the seats on top of the wall looks fantastic. But the fact that they left that ladder on the wall as a historic artifact, they used to use that ladder to climb up after batting practice to go get the baseballs.
To get the balls.
That had gotten caught in the net.
Smart.
So they could use them again the next day. Now they just go into the seats and fans get to take them home, or they head on out to the, Lansdowne Street that's out there. Yawkey Way.
Used to be Yawkey Way.
But now it's not.
Disavowed it.
He was an old racist owner or something, but whatever's out there. And then I think I had seen before that people go inside the wall and they sign their names, like players, like Jeremiah Estrada did it. And he took a picture where you see him. There's that little opening in the wall where the people who work behind can see what's going on in the game, like a window.
Yeah.
In the wall.
A slit.
But
it's just a slit.
I mean, it's like a square. It's enough to like put your head in, and that's about it.
Well, then there's slits all around it too. Because Jesse took a picture of a slit.
Yes, but there's an actual,
that's big enough for your eyes.
There's one like window in the wall, and they said that one's always open there. But no ball has ever gone into that window in the history of Fenway Park, which is pretty amazing when you think about 113 years, and that's always been there, and no one's hit a one-hopper that bounced right through the wall.
Incredible.
In the entire time it's been there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that one's big enough for a ball. The slits are not big enough for a ball.
No, but, and learning, Jurickson out there kind of guessing. He had the one that bounced off the wall, then the track, and bounced right over his head. Didn't cost an extra base. It was going to be a double anyway. But the intricacies of playing that outfield with such quirky dimensions, and then knowing if it hits the scoreboard or it hits one of the numbers on the scoreboard or hits the ladder or anything, it's going to bounce completely differently than if it just hits the wall solidly. It's like a guessing game out there.
Well, I mean, you saw Jurickson was the one.
Yeah.
And as soon as he was running back on it, I went, "You're too close! You're too close! You're too close! You're too close! You're not going to get." Once the ball caroms off and Jurickson runs to get it, do you know how far he is from second base?
He's
10 feet away.
He's right there. It's
you
so close.
Underhand it there. And
so
get
he
him.
Couldn't take an extra base because he's going to get there. The throw is
I loved Mudd's story about when he went there, and he said he went back to the wall and he leaned up against the wall and he's like, "Do they move this thing back for the games? Because this is really, really close." I mean, if you go to Fenway, I went once. I went to a Yankees-Red Sox series there. It was insane. Everywhere you sit, you're like, "Oh my God, I'm in this guy's back pocket." Like, I feel like I'm right on top of this dude. And that's cool. It's very intimate. And that's kind of how old Yankee Stadium was too. But man, you're in that ballpark and you're like, it's very, very tight. It's very tight.
The pesky pole is only like 300 feet right there in the corner.
Yeah,
303 or 303. Something. Sully got one. Duran's home run was not that long. It was into the corner yesterday as well, but just those very quirky dimensions for a team we don't get to see play our team there that often. It was kind of interesting and educational for me this weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then of course Jackson Merrill's got to go out and play center field that has that funky, and he played it well. He played it as he always does. He played it
the
really
one
well.
Thing that I wanted to know that no one ever addressed. So when Jackson Merrill hit the home run to his mom,
yeah,
and they were all sitting there, but then the next day it was covered in a tarp, like
so they
the
talked
batter's
about it.
Up.
Yeah.
So, did someone say that? I never heard
they
that.
They talked about it. They changed it for day games. Mudd was talking about it. Jesse was talking about it.
Jesse posted it on social media.
And he was talking about it on the broadcast as well, how they just blacken out those seats for day games for the batter's eye.
But for night games, they feel like it's okay.
Night
to have
games,
fans
they feel like
there.
It's okay.
He said like capacity changes between day games and night games by like 400 seats.
Yep.
Which I was wondering if that was something to do with
quirky.
That. But
it's quirky, man. And quirky is cool. I mean, look, you'd hate 30 ballparks like that. You know, I think you would eventually. You'd be like, oh god. But you know, I like the quirkiness of it. Really cool experience.
But I don't want to see any just complete symmetrical arcs all the way around.
Remember those days, man? I mean, that's the baseball
Qualcomm
I grew up
Stadium
watching.
Was like that.
You know, Arlington
Rivers,
Stadium. Oh my god,
Riverfront. I mean, you know, they all seem kind of the same.
But that was the height of architecture back then, when they could get it perfectly symmetrical, they were like, "We've done it. This is exactly what." too much quirks in Wrigley Field. Too many quirks in Fenway Park. Let's get this nice and even.
Then they built Minute Maid Park and they put a flagpole and a hill on the field. Yeah, okay, we've jumped the shark a little bit in ballpark design at this point.
I will never forget that hill. That hill in center field was just, you had to see it to believe it.
What are we doing?
No. Center fielder's like, come on, bro. Come on. No, it was awesome. It's just, if you're a baseball fan and you've never had the chance to go to Fenway Park, you have to put it on your list of must-sees. It is spectacular.
I know we got to get to the Rondle Report. I feel like the Padres, until this year, the Petco porch always seemed to do more for the opponents. But this year, all of a sudden, they've hit like a bunch of home runs into that corner this year. Jake, Jackson Merrill, just Jerks and Profar's grand slam. That porch has been very effective for the Padres this year. They're finally taking advantage of one of their own stadium quirks for once, which has been nice. All right, Paulie's got some other news for us. Let's get to it. It is time for the Rondle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rondle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Gentlemen, we will start off in Major League Baseball, and I thought we could actually all work through this together. I did not know that new rules were coming for the upcoming Home Run Derby. Was that 3 weeks from tomorrow? Two weeks from today. 2 weeks from tonight in Texas. The Home Run Derby. Now, they made the changes 8 or 9 years ago where it was going to be timed and everyone freaked out. I actually loved it from the start.
I thought
it was outstanding.
I liked it as well.
You know, I was
reading
about it. But
it's going good, so we need to change it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's how baseball likes to work. I was reading about it. Like, I guess some players had complained about, like, fatigue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how many swings can you get in 2 minutes?
They get worn out. But I saw hey, we're doing an announcement tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. We're going to explain it all for you. And I watched a little bit of Sunday Night Baseball, but late. And I saw the rules pop up. I gave them one cursory glance, and I said, Ben, I'm just going to wait for Ben to explain it to me. I had no idea what they're doing.
Well, let me give you the rules, and then we'll see if Ben can accurately
explain. If you have
any
questions, I've looked through this, and I, for the most part, understand it.
So ESPN kind of broke it down. So the competition flow. First round, 8 hitters. Top 4 will advance. A tie is broken by the longest home run in the first round.
That's a difference from previous years where it was like a bracket and you just had to beat the one guy you were going against.
Right.
Now, you know, you could have hit the second most home runs in the first round, but if you were facing the guy who hit the most, you're eliminated. Now, you would move on to the second round. You know, no matter where you hit, you just have to be in the top 4. That makes more sense to me than eliminating a guy who hit 24 home runs because the guy he went up against hit 25.
So I like the bracket.
I did too.
You did like the bracket.
Yes.
Well, you'll get a little bit of both because that's the first round. Top 4 out of the 8 will advance. to the semifinals. The semifinals will then be a bracket. One versus the four seed, two versus three, and it's based on the first round home run totals. And then in the final, the top two will face off, the winners of those two semifinal brackets.
No longer timed? Is it timed?
All right, so that's the change in the rules.
Yes, the first round and the semifinals. You will have a three-minute round.
Still timed.
40 pitches.
Max.
One timeout. And I saw it kind of compared to, like, in the three-point shootout, you only have X amount of basketballs to shoot from.
Correct.
You don't just get to keep shooting until
but
the time
there is
runs
also
out.
A clock, and if you run out of time, they don't necessarily let you shoot the last three or four baskets.
Correct.
Right.
So this is a way that it's not just a race to see how many swings you can get in your 3 minutes. You know you only get 40, so you can slow it down just a little bit and know, as long as I get the maximum 40 opportunities, I'm good. I don't have to race to try to get 40. I think the average was getting up to like 43. Some guys were hitting, you know, getting 45 or 46 swings, and they were saying it's exhausting to try to do that. So this will back it off a little bit for guys who said this is becoming a real grind to try to do the home run derby.
Says you get three bonus outs, so okay, you will have the bonus round. I don't know if that's timed or not.
That is not a timed round. Instead of a time bonus round like it used to be, it'll just be three outs. And an out is anything that you swing and it doesn't go over the fence. I mean, you get a liner off the fence, you get a foul ball, swing and miss, that's an out. Anything that's not a home run.
Okay.
You get three.
But you can
that.
Also let it go and just
spit on it.
I spit on
spit
that.
On that
if you're if your batting practice pitcher is not in the zone on the on the non-timed round, you can just say, don't like that one, I'm waiting for a better one.
Okay. You will also be able to get a bonus fourth out in the bonus round if you hit a home run of 425 feet or further.
Instead of a bonus 30 seconds, which, you know, that would have been another seven swings or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So now it's just one more out where you can take your time.
Okay. And then in the finals, it'll be a two-minute round, not 3 minutes, 27 pitches, not 40. You get one timeout, and then the same bonus rules apply.
All right.
Is it complicated?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Is it too complicated?
We'll get used to it. It'll be fine. Yeah. They'll explain it as they go. Don't worry about it too much. You don't have to do it. You're just watching it.
I'm excited for it.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to be in it? We don't know. We just know Gunnar Henderson said he is in it for sure. Anyone else? They have not announced.
Aaron Judge wanted to. I don't know that he's going to. No. He just got dotted on the
Dave
hand.
Roberts said he doesn't want Shohei to do it.
Please do it.
Yeah. But those are your new rules.
All right.
Shift over to the NBA. We briefly talked about NBA free agency.
Yes.
What's the tampering period now? It's July or June 30th. With like 3 hours to go or something, you can officially start talking. And that's when all the players can legally start texting each other and colluding and figuring out where they want to go.
I'm basketball Ben, and I can't even figure it out. Crazy. If we actually had a team and I had to figure out like the salary cap and the apron and the penalties, I would have to spend like all day every day,
you know,
trying to understand it.
Right here.
All I know is at midnight, all of a sudden, all these like mega million-dollar deals are just signed and agreed upon, but in like 8 minutes. It's weird, but I guess the big news that you need to know is LeBron opted out of his contract with the Lakers, as expected, and he's doing that because he wants to restructure. He's willing to do a team-friendly deal if it means going out and getting some veteran help, and the leader in the clubhouse right now would be Klay Thompson. He is his time is running out in Golden State.
What does that do for you, Benny?
Well, you know, his dad, Michael Thompson's longtime radio analyst for the Lakers, and that would be a nice story. Klay is not the same Klay he was 5 or 6 years ago. Lakers need some shooters, though, and he's been a really good one. If he
what about Bronny James as a shooter? How'd that do for you?
Not much yet.
You like that your favorite basketball team, they're just doing bits now. Let's get your podcast, buddy. We'll draft your son, and then we'll get the radio announcer's kid to come in and shoot some threes from time to time.
I think, though, the pressure, LeBron knows, like, this better work, though. You know, it would look bad for me if it didn't. So he's going to, you know, he's doing the Tom Brady thing where he'll take a little less to try to make sure Lakers have the best chance to succeed, at least.
Some of the other deals, it's just, it blows your mind every year. At least it does for me. The NBA's media deal has just allowed some of the most absurd contracts. If it was any other sport, it would be just groundbreaking news every time one of these guys signed. Paul George opted out of his contract with the Clippers. He signed a four-year, $212 million max contract with the 76ers. 76ers also signed Tyrese Maxey to a five-year, $204 million contract extension.
Poor Clippers, though. You know, they got the new arena, and Kawhi, you know, half-healthy is coming back, and James Harden coming back, but at an extraordinary salary. And then what else do they have? I don't know.
I mean, I'm looking at, like, hey, Woods, have you ever heard of Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yeah, he was the guy on the Knicks. A good, pretty good role player for the playoff run, but they ran into now cap problems because of the trade.
And now he gets a max Bridges deal somewhere else.
So he has to go somewhere
else. 3 years,
else.
$87 million to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's wild.
That's just crazy. But everyone's waiting to see what the Lakers do right now. And then finally, usually I give you a weird story, but if I don't have a weird story, I do have weird audio. So this will keep it in sports here.
Ooh, this is nuts.
What the hell was going on? Was this the White Sox broadcast?
This is that guy. What's
over?
His name? The
Steve Stone.
No. This was the other guy. The one that's getting all the grief in Chicago. The one that has the radio beef.
John Schifrin?
Schifrin. Ah, yes, John Schifrin. He is really... I think to his credit, he's trying real hard to create some excitement around a really bad baseball team. This was one of the wilder calls.
Listen to this home
you
run
will
call.
Ever hear.
Luis Robert Jr. back at the wall. Adios! La Pantera! On the prowl! He ties the game here in the sixth inning.
I need just the, you know what I need, just the.
La Pantera!
It's a great nickname.
The Panther.
On the prowl!
That is un... He got murdered.
La Pantera! On the prowl!
Well, we couldn't see Jesse or Don doing that.
Can you imagine?
Point.
Scan.
Oh, Scan could do that. I think Scan could pull that off.
White Sox fans are just... They're like... Enough already with you, man. They lost their beloved Jason Benetti,
yeah.
And they get this guy.
La Pantera! On the prowl!
It's unbelievable, man.
Oh, God.
Killed me,
that's
dude.
Unbelievable.
La Pantera!
Should you be allowed to have any fun as a broadcaster
no.
when your team
no.
is I think so,
no.
so far back in the standings? 30 games out. Worst record in baseball at 24-62.
I don't know how I'd feel if I'm like a White Sox fan watching that game.
I think
I'm
you're
like,
mad, dude.
He's trying something.
I think you're mad,
I'm like,
bro.
Is he on drugs? Like,
Adam says, people are always complaining that baseball's boring. This guy's at least trying to make it fun for a crap team. I get it. I do. Hey,
Don and Mudd had to do that for a long time.
They did. They did. And you know, I'm sure people got annoyed with that, too. But I wasn't one of them. This guy, this is not a – you can't look at this in a silo. As Mike Schill likes to say, it's not in a silo. It's his body of work throughout the season. And if nothing else, it's absolutely hysterical. Save that. That'll be in the tournament of drops.
The White Sox, they won the World Series in
like
2015, I wanted to say. You know, just it reminds me that. Someday, it's going to turn bad again for the Padres, because it does for every team
yeah,
at
could
some
be
point.
In, could be next week.
Oh, that's going to really...
2005, oh God.
That's
going to
really
ago.
Be hard. And I know that these last few years have been far from perfect. In fact, they've been more frustrating
yes.
than satisfying for the most part. But can you... I can't even picture now going back to... Like not like being 30 games out in
I know,
July.
I know.
The Padres
what that feels
mostly
like anymore?
Been... Relevant or entertaining or whatever.
There's been something.
Like since the Chargers left.
Yeah.
Like it was like 1 or 2 years and then, you know, whether it was Hosmer, I know, but at the time we were like, oh my God, we're spending money.
Yeah.
Manny, Fernando, and then the rest has been written.
But when they weren't, it was shocking and it was interesting,
like,
whatever.
We were talking about that lineup from the last time the Padres were in Boston wife goes, how did you guys cover that? I'm like,
We didn't. We started
Chargers
the next year.
Town. Like, Chargers are still here.
I was playing Walk the Moon, buddy. We're good. I was,
but there it's not a lot to say. It's you're always looking 2-3 years down the line, which is tough. It's tough. I'm sure it's with White Sox fans. You're doing
somebody
right now.
Tweeted they liked to picture that guy Schifrin doing that right in Steve Stone, right in his face.
La Pantera!
Steve Stone just sitting there like, what in the hell am I doing in here? Why am I here?
It's so good.
I love that. I listened to it 100 times over the weekend. That's going in the Tournament of Drops, for sure.
We've got a special guest. Surprise guest.
Oh, and he's a good one. He is a good one.
Shall we tease it? What? Actually, why don't we wait, and when we come back, you'll find out who's going to join us in our final segment.
Got a lot of hits for the San Diego Padres, I'll tell you that.
That's true.
A lot of hits.
Some for the Red Sox as well. Get to that coming up next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen some guesses in the chat as to who our guest is going to be at the bottom of the hour. Mentioned they had a lot of hits with the San Diego Padres and also a few with the Boston Red Sox. Saw Adrian Gonzalez guess in there. No.
No.
Agon is not going to be with us in our next segment. No. Dave Roberts had hits for both the Padres and the Boston Red Sox.
Yes, it's Dave Roberts. I was going to ask him.
Ben, you do a great job.
How it felt to get beat by the Giants on Mickey. Did you guys see this? Mickey Mouse Day? When they had they gave out Mickey Mouse hats at Oracle yesterday.
Maybe it was just a coincidence.
I mean, that is insane. And they did it. And they beat the crap out of the Dodgers. If we did it, we would have lost by 14 runs. Yeah, we're in partnership with Disney. We've
been cursed for 40 years.
Right. Yeah. We just happened to be giving away these Mickey Mouse hat, and they just dominated.
So they had Mickey on the field?
Now, are you saying it's because the Dodgers won a Mickey Mouse championship in 2020?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It just happened to fall. I mean, that was so good. That is incredible. They did make Beat LA shirts on the night before, and they got smoked by the Dodgers. So it was like watching an old Padre game, and I was watching the end of that game. Giants have bases loaded, one out in the 10th. All they need is a lazy sack fly to win the game. Strike out, foul out. And I'm like, oh! So then Bob Melvin throws his guy out there. Hit, walk, hit, homer, walk, hit. I'm like, 7 runs later.
Oh, yeah, that was a 14-7 game. Yeah, dude, you know, touchdown was... in the 11th to win it.
And here's Bob. Just standing there, wearing it. And
why
I'm
is
like,
this following
oh
me
God,
around?
Why is this following me? Bro, bases loaded, one out, again, beating them on a walk-off the day before. And all you need is a sack fly. You know, a ground ball with eyes, you win that game. But, oh, my Lord, it was like PTSD watching Bob Melvin sitting there rock back and forth while his guys can't get a sack fly and while his next guy can't get an out in the top of the 11th, man. It was gnarly.
The correct answer, though, who's going to join us, as some of you has figured out, is Padres special assistant Mark Loretta, who was at Fenway Park this weekend and wanted to check in. So we've saved some time in our final segment for Lowe. And we will speak with Mark Loretta when we come back. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, an unexpected treat here. Looking forward to chatting with Mark Loretta. He is standing by. Spent some time in Boston with Padres and fans this weekend. And he's going to join us here on our final segment, Woods, right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's funny because, you know, on the occasions when there's or Dodgers fans that show up at Petco Park, which, you know, happens. Or
yeah, Cubs, from time to time.
Cubs fans visit. Everyone always wrings their hands a lot. I saw tons of Padres fans at Fenway Park over the weekend. All over the place. You could hear the Ha-Sung Kim chants, like, during the game at Fenway Park. And part of the traveling party this week is Padres special assistant Mark Loretta, who wanted to call in, joins us right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Lo, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. I am fired up. I'm very tired this morning, but I am very fired about the weekend. It was a lot of fun. What a blast.
It was so much fun to watch those games. Nice to kind of put your feet up for two games. I mean, I like those blowouts, man. I played enough ball where people are like, man, I like the closer games. No. Give me the 9-1 where I can put my feet up. Robert Suarez can get himself a nice break, enjoy the scenery in Boston, and not have to worry about getting hot for a game. Lo, it was pretty awesome.
It was, yeah. And I haven't heard this term thrown out there, but I'm going with immaculate offensive inning for the nine up, nine score without an out, not even an out recorded. So I don't know how often that's happened in MLB history. I'm sure we can find that out. But that was a really fun inning. There's no question about it. And I just, you know, I wanted to call in and just thank the fans and show some appreciation for just the traveling party. So many, it was hundreds of fans. It wasn't just like, and I know Fenway Park is a bucket list item for a lot of people, and maybe you'd see a couple dozen who want to do the Freedom Trail. And oh by the way, catch a Padre game. This was not the case. This was hundreds of people. Like you said, they had the Ha-Sung Kim chant going. Manny was going. It was awesome. And you don't see that at Fenway. You know, I played there, and you would never see that back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. It was almost like the Red Sox going on the road, you know, to say like Baltimore or something like that. It was impressive. And I think it fueled the team. It fired them up. You could tell they were interacting with the crowd. The guys were chanting Higgy on Sunday, Saturday, the day he was off, and talking about, you know, how he owns the Western Metal Supply. It was really cool. You know, Eric Gruppen and I were sitting up in, he invited me up to Sam Kennedy's box to present the Red Sox, and we were looking on just an amazement of how well the Padre fans showed out. And I'm sure some of them are listening today, so I just wanted to give them a shout out. Phenomenal job this weekend.
Is that weird to sit in the president of the Red Sox box and your team is kicking the ever loving hell out of their team?
We couldn't cheer as much as we wanted to, that's for sure. But
like me in the press box.
Sam had a family wedding conveniently, so he ejected pretty early.
Oh, good.
It may have been a made-up wedding, I don't know, but you know, either way, it was somber in there, but we were internally going nuts.
But I love the internal scream. It's not like the Red Sox are having a bad season. No. And fans are looking to unload their tickets at all. They're playing really good baseball as well, and they're right in the thick of the American League playoff chase. I'd imagine fans are pretty excited about that team, which makes it even more impressive how vocal and how prominent the Padres fans were this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple tough years in a row, but this year they're really playing well. They've got some really good young talent. They're pitching well. I had a long conversation with my friend Alex Cora, and he's excited about the team. And I think the Red Sox fans were caught off guard. I was in the hotel on my way out yesterday, and a couple came in. I said, "Oh, where are you guys visiting from?" They're like, "Oh, no, we're local. We're here for a wedding." And they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm from San Diego, and, you know, we're here for the Padres." He goes, "Man, I didn't know the Padres traveled so well." I said, "Yeah, man."
You're telling me.
I guess.
You're telling me a local.
He was shocked.
You're telling me a local didn't look at you and go, "Oh, that's Mark Loretta. I remember you."
No, he didn't. No, he didn't say Mark Loretta, Patriots Day.
Yeah, you Mark know, Loretta. Oh, man. Well, no, it represented really well on television. Yeah, you know, I heard one guy wearing Manny out so bad, and a guy DM'd me, said the guy that was wearing Manny out that you could hear on the broadcast got ejected. They were dragging him up the aisle as Manny steps in and hits that bomb and silenced him. It was pretty special. Nice to see him swinging the bat a little bit better over the last month or so, Lowe, because, you know, when he goes, we go. We need him to keep doing that. He was awesome. This weekend.
No doubt. Particularly with, you know, Fernando and Bogey and some of those guys out. I mean, you know, Manny can carry this team. He's an aircraft carrier type player. And I think he gets fired up with the booze. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they remember, you know, a slide he made with the Orioles back who knows ago. They have long memories in Boston. But you know, yeah, he silenced them. I mean, he was unbelievable. And Jackson Merrill, you know, growing up a Red Sox fan, you know, hitting the homers, having, I don't know, seemed like 10 hits on the series, pretty awesome. But just guys passing the torch, man. It's really, we're a deep lineup. We have good quality at bats. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's been an up and down season, no question about it. But, you know, it feels like they're hitting their stride. And I hope, like you guys talked about earlier, hope, you know, yesterday was kind of a blip on the radar, and they get after it to Texas, which I think they will.
Talking to our pal Mark Loretta here on Ben and Woods this morning. You were around the team last year as well. I mean, there's a visible difference when you're watching on television. There's a difference when we go down there, you know, once a month to check in and say hello. You can definitely feel that these guys really, really pull for each other. They really, really love each other. It seems to be making a difference on the field. And, you know, listen, they're not running away with the West or anything, but, man, they're hanging around and overcoming injuries and stuff like that. How much credit do you give to the skipper, Mike Schilt?
Yeah, I give Mike a lot of credit, no question. I mean, he stayed so steady this year. You know, it would have been very easy for him to sort of not jump off the wagon, but be pretty critical of his team. And he just said, stay the course. And I think that's really energized his team. And there's a lot of young players. I mean, with Jackson, then you get. I think we have a lot more depth than we had last year. You got a guy like Sullivan come up, hit a home run. Obviously Higgy, but Solano and some of the veteran presence, and it's really fun to watch. It's team baseball. It feels like every time we lay a bunt down, we win.
All right, let's settle down on that, on the bunting. I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh boy,
bunting for okay. Oh boy. All right, sorry. Hope you're taking this job more. Giving this more attention than you did at fantasy camp the last go around.
Well. Yeah, this is more important than fantasy camp.
Well,
I mean, so you say. It's debatable.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, depends on who you ask, Lo.
By the way, we just finalized our coaching staff for fantasy camp. It's all-star cap. So
I don't want to get traded again. Can I just put that out there? I did not like
Terry
being traded.
Kennedy is the one who traded you.
He
so,
did.
Yeah.
Is TK coming back?
Yeah.
Who? TK. Oh, yeah. He's coming back. Loves you.
I'm not going there.
But Dave Dubecki and Booney's going to be out there this year.
The best.
Greg Garcia's coming out?
Garcia's coming out? Yes.
Greg Garcia.
It's going to
be a great group.
Just a bunch of scrappers.
We got Mark Loretta on the line. So, Mark, one of the things that makes baseball great are all these interwoven threads. And this weekend, Matt Waldron was a big story, going to Fenway Park where Tim Wakefield pitched and got some advice on the knuckleball from Tim Wakefield. It was obviously emotional. Now, when Tim Wakefield pitched for the Red Sox, his personal catcher was Doug Mirabelli, who, of course, you were traded for from the San Diego Padres to the Boston Red Sox in the 2005 offseason and didn't work out very well. They missed him because no one could catch Tim Wakefield and they ended up having to send him right back. I've always wondered, though, and God rest Kevin Towers, love KT more than anything, why on earth did he trade you for Doug Mirabelli? That makes no sense to me 18 years later.
Yeah, that was the second time I've been traded, and it was, obviously loved playing in San Diego. When KT called me, I was bummed out. And then he said, well, you're going to the Red Sox. I said, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I asked him, well, who would you trade me for? And then I was a little bummed out after that, the backup catcher.
You went to the All-Star game that next year. I mean, what was going on there?
I don't know. I mean, I was making decent money. It wasn't, maybe that was part of it. For me, at least, decent back then. But I don't know. Yeah, it was a little bit of buzzkill when Mirabelli's name was mentioned. However, it became a folk legend story when he had to come back. He got traded on the day that Wakefield was pitching one of his returns in the rotation, and Doug landed like 30 minutes before game time, and they picked him up in a police escort. They had his uniform in the car.
Oh, my God.
He changed in the car. He caught the first inning straight from the car without a cup on. Never forget it. And I'm like, wait, we're all like, wait a second. You're a backup catcher. You're not this God coming in as their savior. But he took it well. I mean, he didn't have good things to say about San Diego when he left, which is kind of BS, but... that's the threads of baseball. That's the beauty of it. There's so much connection.
Could be worse. Could be traded for a guy on another team that has like a shredded hamstring, but they don't like you so much that they want to get rid of you. And it's fine.
It turned out for the Padres because, when the Red Sox desperately needed Mirabelli back, they kind of fleeced him.
They did.
And Jack Bard. Yeah. So who were good contributors.
KT was playing the long game on that one, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking about two trades down the line.
But then you come in, Waldron is pitching and talking about Wakefield, and you've got the Tim Wakefield honoring that's been going on this year at Fenway Park, and it just all kind of connects together, Mark.
It really does, yeah. And Wakefield was a great teammate. I got a chance to play with him, and his wife unfortunately passed away right after him as well. It's just a crazy story, but. Special place, Fenway. No question about it. And again, I'm sure there's some of the people who are on the trip or listening today. I just want to, thank them, give them a shout out and what the fans have done at Petco with averaging 40,000 and, what Eric Grubner and his group have done. I think the franchise is in great shape and, just got to get some separation from 500, which I think we're starting to do.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling, my friend. And looking forward to July, always a really exciting month around these parts. So hopefully AJ can get creative and you know, if we need to bolster the rotation of the bullpen. Man, it's been a fun first 80 or so games, man. It's been incredible.
It has. And I know I owe you guys a golf game.
You do.
So let's look at that list of the schedule. So.
All right, let's get it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks,
take care.
Buddy. Appreciate
right.
you.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Mark Loretta, Padres special assistant, was in Boston with the team and impressed with the turnout of Padres fans over the weekend at Fenway Park. Last couple of minutes, and obviously no game today. We'll talk more about the upcoming series against the Texas Rangers tomorrow. So the Rangers are defending, of course, their World Series title. It has not gone that well for Boch so far this season. In fact, looking at the American League wildcard standings right now, the Texas Rangers are 8 games out of a playoff spot. Games out of the third wild card spot.
Wow.
At 38-46, 8 games under 500. Just ended a 6-game losing streak, had another 5-1, though, a couple of weeks ago. Just has not really come together for Boch's team the way it did last year. And, I mean, there's a few players' difference, and there's some injuries, but it's not that different of a team from last year. It's simply health and, you know, a couple of factors that you go from World Series winner to team that a seller at the deadline, unless they go on a run here in the next couple of weeks and Padres
don't start it
here in the next 3 days. They're going to be a team that's probably selling pieces at the deadline because they 8 games out and they're behind the Blue Jays, who are already in sell mode. They're behind the Rays, 4 games behind them, the Astros, who are rising, behind the Red Sox, who are a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
I don't know.
It's not really a feasible road to get back to the postseason.
I don't know if they're sellers. I really don't. I think, don't they have DeGrom coming back, Scherzer coming back? I don't
Scherzer's
know.
Scherzer's pitching, and he's
is he throwing? Well. Yeah, is he throwing against us?
Final game of the series on 4th of July.
So I don't know, man. I don't know if I don't know if you can look at that team and say, well, they're certainly not capable of.
But unlike the National League, where it looks like, you know, 84-85 wins is enough, it might be more like 89-90 wins to get to the postseason in the American League, because so many teams are already at 47 wins or higher, which means they'd have to go. I mean, they have to go 52 and, you know, 30 the rest of the way. They'd have to play insane baseball.
They got some time to figure it out. You know, they do. And like I said, hopefully it doesn't come at our expense the next few days. They're the team we beat last year that gave us the hope. You know, remember that?
That's
and,
right.
Oh, we beat the Rangers and said, oh.
Swept them last year.
Yeah, we should definitely go out and buy right now, because we are going to storm our way into the playoffs. It just didn't happen. So I don't want to be the team that gets them right, certainly. Corey Seager got hit on the hand the other night. He's out. I don't know if he's going to be back.
I don't think they put him on the injured
list,
but he's not necessarily available either.
Yep. So, I mean, they're you know, Andrew Haney pitched yesterday. I'm so glad we missed him. He was brilliant last night against the Orioles. I watched a lot of that start. But, yeah, man, I mean, these are winnable games against a team that's kind of on the outs.
There are 5 teams in baseball that have a worse record than the Texas Rangers. Rockies, Marlins, White Sox, A's, and Angels. That's it. Those are the only teams below the Rangers in the standings.
That's
Those
wild.
Are the 5 worst teams in all of baseball. That's where the Rangers are right now.
It's wild.
Coming off their World Series championship.
I had them picked to take a big step back this year, because that World Series hangover is a real thing. I mean, that's why those dynasties are really, really hard to do, man, to keep guys healthy, keep guys not motivated, but keep guys playing at that level. But you are starting to see, like, Langford was a guy that had struggled early in the season. They moved him. They brought him up as a rookie, Benny, and they had him DHing, and he's like, guys, I am not a DH. I'm a young outfielder. I can fly. Like, put me in the outfield.
Viral.
Very viral.
Out there.
And, they got him sitting there waiting to hit for, you know, between innings. And, no, he's out in the outfield now. He's playing much better. So, hit for the cycle last night. They're a dangerous team. Adolis Garcia, still, he stepped up to the plate last night, and I just went, oh, my God, I forgot what a unit. I haven't seen much Texas Ranger baseball at all. But, again, Scherzer coming back could be a lift. They got the month of July to figure it out. I don't expect them to continue on this pace, but I'd like them to get it started next week.
Not this week.
After we're done.
But if they don't get it started in this week or next, it's going to be too late to get it started for Boach and company.
They got pieces that they can absolutely move, so they could do that. It's just really hard to sell to the fan base. Hey, I know we just won a World Series. We continue
or
to
is
spend,
it easier to sell?
Or maybe it's easier.
I don't know.
Maybe it's easier. I mean, look, CY is a really good GM. He's a really good GM, as evidenced by his World Series win last year. And Boach is a good manager. I think if there's a team that gets a little bit of leeway, it's probably them. But we'll see, man. We'll see. We got to take care of biz.
Well, we'll have more on that series tomorrow. We'll be joined by Jesse Agler for the Incorporator, live from Dallas, Texas, here in Dallas. Jesse will join us. And much more on a Tuesday. Looking forward to it. That's it for us today. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Annie and Braden coming up next. Craig on that road trip. But you'll have Annie and Braden for the next 4 hours right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. All right, an unexpected treat here. Looking forward to chatting with Mark Loretta. He is standing by. Spent some time in Boston with Padres and fans this weekend. And he's going to join us here in our final segment, Woods, right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's funny because, you know, on the occasions when there are Dodgers fans that show up at Petco Park, which, you know, happens. Or
yeah, Cubs, from time to time.
Cubs fans visit. Everyone always wrings their hands a lot. I saw tons of Padres fans at Fenway Park over the weekend. All over the place. You could hear the Ha-Sung Kim chants, like, during the game at Fenway Park. And part of the traveling party this week is Padres special assistant Mark Loretta, who wanted to call in, joins us right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Lo, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. I am fired up. I'm very tired this morning, but I am very fired about the weekend. It was a lot of fun. What a blast.
It was so much fun to watch those games. Nice to kind of put your feet up for two games. I mean, I like those blowouts, man. I played enough ball where people are like, man, I like the closer games. No. Give me the 9-1 where I can put my feet up. Robert Suarez can get himself a nice break, enjoy the scenery in Boston, and not have to worry about getting hot for a game. Lo, it was pretty awesome.
It was, yeah, and I haven't heard this term thrown out there, but I'm going with immaculate offensive inning for the 9-up,
I like
9
it.
Score without an out, not even an out recorded. So I don't know how often that's happened in MLB history. I'm sure we could find that out. But that was a really fun inning. There's no question about it. And I just, you know, I wanted to call in and just thank the fans and show some appreciation for just the traveling party. So many, it was hundreds of fans. It wasn't just like, and I know Fenway Park is a bucket list item for a lot of people, and maybe see a couple dozen who want to do the Freedom Trail. And oh by the way, catch a Padre game. This was not the case. This was hundreds of people. Like you said, they had the Ha-Sung Kim chant going. Manny, Manny, Manny was going. It was awesome. And you don't see that at Fenway. You know, I played there, and you would never see that back, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. It was almost like the Red Sox going on the road, you know, to say like Baltimore or something like that. It was impressive, and I think it fueled the team. It fired them up. You could tell they were interacting with the crowd. The guys were chanting Higgy on Sunday Saturday the day he was off, and talking about, you know, how he owns the Western Metal Supply. It was really cool. You know, Eric Gruppner and I were sitting up, and he invited me up to Sam Kennedy's box to present the Red Sox, and we were looking on just an amazement of how well the Padre fans showed out. And I'm sure some of them are listening today, so I just wanted to give them a shout out. Phenomenal job this weekend.
Is that weird to sit in the president of the Red Sox box and your team is kicking the ever-loving hell out of their team?
We couldn't cheer as much as we wanted to, that's for sure. But
like me in the press box.
Sam had a family wedding conveniently, so he ejected pretty early.
Oh, good.
It may have been a made-up wedding. I don't know. But, you know, either way, it was somber in there, but we were internally going nuts.
But, Mark, it's not like the Red Sox are having a bad season and fans are looking to unload their tickets at all. They're playing really good baseball as well, and they're right in the thick of the American League playoff chase. I'd imagine fans are pretty excited about that team, which makes it even more impressive how vocal and how prominent the Padres fans were this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple tough years in a row, but this year they're really playing well. They've got some really good young talent. They're pitching well. I had a long conversation with my friend Alex Cora, and he's excited about the team. And I think the Red Sox fans were caught off guard. I was in the hotel on my way out yesterday, and a couple came in. I said, oh, where are you guys visiting from? They're like, oh, no, we're local. We're here for a wedding. And they said, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from San Diego, and, you know, we're here for the Padres. He goes, man, I didn't know the Padres traveled so well. I said, yeah, man.
You're telling me a local didn't look at you and go, oh, that's Mark Loretta. I remember you.
No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't say Mark Loretta, Patriots Day.
Yeah, you know, Mark Loretta. Oh, man. Well, no, it represented really well on television. Yeah, I heard one guy wearing Manny out so bad. And a guy DM'd me, said the guy that was wearing Manny out that you could hear on the broadcast got ejected. They were dragging him up the aisle as Manny steps in and hits that bomb and silenced him. It was pretty special. Nice to see him swinging the bat a little bit better over the last month or so, Lo, because, you know, when he goes, we go. We need him to keep doing that. He was awesome this weekend.
No doubt, particularly with, you know, Fernando and Bogey and some of those guys out. I mean, you know, Manny can carry this team. He's an aircraft carrier type player, and I think he gets fired up with the booze. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they remember, you know, a slide he made with the Orioles back who knows ago. They have long memories in Boston. But he silenced them. I mean, he was unbelievable. And Jackson Merrill, you know, growing up a Red Sox fan, you know, hitting the homers, having, I don't know, it seemed like 10 hits on the series. Pretty awesome. But just guys passing the torch, man. It's really, we're a deep lineup. We have good quality at bats. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been an up-and-down season, no question about it. But, you know, it feels like they're hitting their stride. And they, like you guys talked about earlier, hope, you know, yesterday was kind of a blip on the radar. And they get after it to Texas, which I think they will.
Talking to our pal Mark Loretta here on Ben and Woods this morning. You were around the team last year as well. I mean, there's a visible difference when you're watching on television. There's a difference when we go down there, you know, once a month to check in and say hello. You can definitely feel that these guys really, really pull for each other. They really, really love each other. It seems to be making a difference on the field. Listen, they're not running away with the West or anything, but, man, they're hanging around and overcoming injuries and stuff like that. How much credit do you give to the skipper, Mike Schilt?
Yeah, I give Mike a lot of credit, no question. I mean, he stayed so steady this year. You know, it would have been very easy for him to sort of, not jump off the wagon, but be pretty critical of his team. And he just said, you know, stay the course. And I think that's really energized this team. And there's a lot of young players. I mean, you know, with Jackson, you know, then you get, I think we have a lot more depth than we had last year. You know, you got a guy like Sullivan come up, hit a home run, obviously Higgy, but, you know, Solano and some of the veteran presence, and it's really fun to watch. It's team baseball. It feels like every time we lay a bunt down, we win.
All right, let's settle down on that, on the bunting. I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh boy,
bunting for okay. Oh boy. All right, sorry. Hope you're taking this job more. Giving this more attention than you did at fantasy camp the last go around.
Well. Yeah, this is more important than fantasy camp.
Well,
sorry to tell you.
I mean, so you say.
It's debatable.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, depends on who you ask, Lo.
By the way, we just finalized our coaching staff for fantasy camp. It's all star cast. So
I don't want to get traded again. Can I just put that out there? I did not like
Terry
being traded.
Kennedy's the one who traded you.
He
so,
did.
Yeah.
Is TK coming back?
Yeah.
Who? TK? Oh, yeah. He's coming back. Yeah, he loves you.
I'm not going there.
But Dave Dubecki and Booney's going to be out there this year.
The best.
You know.
Heard Greg Garcia's coming out?
Garcia's coming out? Yes.
It's going to be a great group.
Just a bunch of scrappers.
We got Mark Loretta on the line. So, Mark, one of the things that makes baseball great are all these interwoven threads. And this weekend, Matt Waldron was a big story, going to Fenway Park where Tim Wakefield pitched and got some advice on the knuckleball from Tim Wakefield. It was obviously emotional. Now, when Tim Wakefield pitched for the Red Sox, his personal catcher was Doug Mirabelli, who, of course, you were traded for from the San Diego Padres to the Boston Red Sox in the 2005 offseason, and didn't work out very well. They missed him because no one could catch Tim Wakefield, and they ended up having to send him right back. I've always wondered, though, and God rest Kevin Towers, love KT more than anything, why on earth did he trade you for Doug Mirabelli? That makes no sense to me 18 years later.
Yeah, you know, that was the second time I've been traded, and it was, you know, obviously loved playing in San Diego. When KT called me, you know, I was bummed out, and then he said, "Well, you know, you're going to the Red Sox." I said, "Oh, that's kind of cool." And then I asked him, "Well, who would you trade me for?" And then I was a little bummed out after that. You know, the backup catcher.
Well, you went to the All-Star game that next year. I mean, what was going on there?
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was making decent money. It wasn't, you know, maybe that was part of it, for me at least, you know, decent back then. But I don't know. Yeah, it was a little bit of buzzkill when Mirabelli's name was mentioned. However, it became a folk legend story when he had to come back. He got traded on the day that Wakefield was pitching one of his returns in the rotation, and Doug landed like 30 minutes before game time, and they picked him up in a police escort. They had his uniform in the car.
Oh, my God.
He changed in the car. He caught the first inning straight from the car without a cup on. Never forget it. And I'm like, wait, we're all like, wait a second. You're a backup catcher. You're not this God coming in as their savior. But he took it well. I mean, he didn't have good things to say about San Diego when he left, which is kind of BS, but... that's the threads of baseball. That's the beauty of it. There's so much connection.
Could be worse. Could be traded for a guy on another team that has like a shredded hamstring, but they don't like you so much that they want to get rid of you. And it's fine. You know,
it turned out for the Padres because, you know, when the Red Sox desperately needed Mirabelli back, they kind of fleeced him.
Really. They did.
Yeah. Jack Bard. Yeah. So who were good contributors.
KT was playing the long game on that one, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. I'm thinking about two trades down the line.
But then you come in, Waldron is pitching and talking about Wakefield, and you've got the Tim Wakefield honoring that's been going on this year at Fenway Park, and it just all kind of connects together, Mark.
It really does, yeah. And Wakefield was a great teammate. I got a chance to play with him, and, you know, his wife unfortunately passed away right after him as well. It's just a crazy story, but... special place, Fenway, no question about it. And again, I'm sure there's some of the people who are on the trip or listening today. I just want to, you know, thank them, give them a shout out, and what the fans have done at Petco with averaging 40,000, and, you know, what Eric Grubner and his group have done. You know, I think the franchise is in great shape, and just got to get some separation from 500, which I think we're starting to do.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling, my friend. And looking forward to July, always a really exciting month around these parts. So hopefully AJ can get creative and you know, if we need to bolster the rotation of the bullpen. Man, it's been a fun first 80 or so games, man. It's been incredible.
It has. And I know I owe you guys a golf game.
You do.
Let's look at that list of the schedule.
All right, let's get it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks,
take care.
Buddy.
All
appreciate
right.
you.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Mark Loretta, Padres special assistant, was in Boston with the team and impressed with the turnout of Padres fans over the weekend at Fenway Park. Last couple of minutes, and obviously no game today. We'll talk more about the upcoming series against the Texas Rangers tomorrow. So the Rangers are defending, of course, their World Series title. It has not gone that well for Boch so far this season. In fact, looking at the American League wildcard standings right now, the Texas Rangers are 8 games out of a playoff spot. 8 games out of the third wild card spot.
Wow.
At 38-46, 8 games under 500. Just ended a 6-game losing streak, had another 5-1 though a couple of weeks ago. Just has not really come together for Boch's team the way it did last year. And I mean, there's a few players difference and there's some injuries, but it's not that different of a team from last year. It's simply health and, you know, a couple of factors that you go from World Series winner to team that seller at the deadline. Unless they go on a run here in the next couple of weeks and Padres
don't start it
here in the next 3 days, they're going to be a team that's probably selling pieces at the deadline because they 8 games out and they're behind the Blue Jays, who are already in sell mode. They're behind the Rays, 4 games behind them, the Astros, who are rising, behind the Red Sox, who are a game and a half out of a playoff spot.
I don't know.
It's not really a feasible road to get back to the postseason.
I don't know if they're sellers. I really don't. I think, don't they have DeGrom coming back, Scherzer coming back? I don't
Scherzer's
know.
Scherzer's pitching, and he's
is he throwing? Well, yeah, is he throwing against us?
Final
yeah.
game of the series yeah. on the 4th of July.
So I just don't know, man. I don't know if I don't know if you can look at that team and say, well, they're certainly not capable of.
But unlike the National League, where it looks like, you know, 84, 85 wins is enough, it might be more like 89, 90 wins to get to the postseason in the American League, because so many teams are already at 47 wins or higher, which means they'd have to go, I mean, they'd have to go 40, 52 and, you know, 30 the rest of the way. They'd have to play insane baseball.
They got some time to figure it out. You know, they do. And like I said, hopefully it doesn't come at our expense the next few days. They're the team we beat last year that gave us the hope. You know, remember that?
That's
and,
right.
Oh, we beat the Rangers and said, oh.
Swept them last year.
Yeah, we should definitely go out and buy right now, because we are going to storm our way into the playoffs. It just didn't happen. So I don't want to be the team that gets them right, certainly. Corey Seager got hit on the hand the other night. He's out. I don't know if he's going to be back.
I don't think they put him on the injured
list,
but he's not necessarily available either.
Yep. So, I mean, they're you know, Andrew Haney pitched yesterday. I'm so glad we missed him. He was brilliant last night against the Orioles. I watched a lot of that start. But, yeah, man, I mean, these are winnable games against a team that's kind of on the outs.
There are five teams in baseball that have a worse record than the Texas Rangers. Rockies, Marlins, White Sox, A's, and Angels. That's it. Those are the only teams below the Rangers in the standings.
That's
those
wild.
Are the five worst teams in all of baseball. That's where the Rangers are right now.
It's wild.
Coming off their World Series championship.
I had them picked to take a big step back this year, because that World Series hangover is a real thing. I mean, that's why those dynasties are really, really hard to do, man, to keep guys healthy, keep guys not motivated, but keep guys playing at that level. But you are starting to see, like, Langford was a guy that had struggled early in the season. They moved him. They brought him up as a rookie, Benny, and they had him DHing, and he's like, guys, I am not a DH. I'm a young outfielder. I can fly. Like, put me in the outfield.
Viral.
Yeah, very viral.
Out there.
And, yeah, they got him sitting there waiting to hit for, you know, between innings. And, no, he's out in the outfield now. He's playing much better. So, hit for the cycle last night. They're a dangerous team. Adolis Garcia, still, he stepped up to the plate last night, and I just went, oh, my God, I forgot what a unit. I haven't seen much Texas Ranger baseball at all. But, again, Scherzer coming back could be a lift. They got the month of July to figure it out. I don't expect them to continue on this pace, but I'd like them to get it started next week.
Not this week.
After
yeah.
we're done.
But if they don't get it started in this week or next, it's going to be too late to get it started
and they got
Boach and company.
They got pieces that they can absolutely move, so they could do that. It's just really hard to sell to the fan base. Hey, I know we just won a World Series. We continue
or
to
is
spend,
it easier to sell?
Or maybe it's easier.
I don't know.
Maybe it's easier. I mean, look, CY is a really good GM. He's a really good GM, as evidenced by his World Series win last year. And Boach is a good manager. I think if there's a team that gets a little bit of leeway, it's probably them. But we'll see, man. We'll see. We got to take care of biz.
Well, we'll have more on that series tomorrow. We'll be joined by Jesse Agler for the Incorporator, live from Dallas, Texas, here in Dallas. Jesse will join us. And much more on a Tuesday. Looking forward to it. That's it for us today. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Annie and Braden coming up next. Craig on that road trip. But you'll have Annie and Braden for the next 4 hours right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.